Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out, church. And if you would, go to the book of Galatians this morning. I am excited. I got a good word. It's a new year. Everything you didn't get accomplished in 2015, just forget about it. It's the easiest way to do it. Blow it off. Say, oh, well, I'm going to start again in 2016. Everybody say, I'm going to start again in 2016. So just forget about the past. Strive on for the future. Okay. Now, I know that, you know, I look out across here this morning and I see, you know, a lot of familiar faces, a few new faces, and some of you have been sitting under this ministry of Living Waters Church for a long time. I've been here for a long time. And, you know, y'all come every Sunday and you expect to hear the Word of God and you believe that I'm preaching the Word of God. You know, you can always check me if you don't think I'm preaching the Word of God to see what's in the Bible, because that's the only thing I use. Amen. Every now and then I have to go to some other piece of research material, but 99.99% of everything I'm going to ever tell you is coming from the Word of God. If you can't find it in the Word of God, then don't believe it. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hey, the Word's right. And so, you know, it comes to, when I come to the start of a year, you got to understand me. There's things that I wanted to accomplish in 2015 that I did not get done. All right, I'm not going to cry over it. I'm not going to waste time worrying about it. I'm going to start over in 2016. I'm going to get a new plan. I'm going to get a new proposal set before the council of Robert and lay it out before me and say, hey, dude, you're going to get it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. All right. Give you a little bit of an example. Y'all know my wife has been in California with my daughter going through a troubled time with a pregnancy. And so she got home last night. And so, you know, I preach to y'all all the time, you know, that it takes 21 days to make a good habit. You know that. It takes 3 days to make a bad habit. It takes 21 days to make a good habit. Isn't that wrong? That's just wrong. And so I've been 21 days on my own, taking care of myself. And so this morning I got up. Hey, I washed the dishes. I took the dishes out of the dishwasher, put them up, and washed the dishes with that and put them in the dishwasher. Why? I got a 21-day habit going. You better stay with it. You see what I'm saying? Ain't no sense. It just take me 3 days to go back into my old ways. Right? I never accomplished that in 2015. I got it for the first day of 16. Okay? So how long will I keep it? Well, I'm just going to have to work on it, you know? But I'm saying you got to look at things that you want to see happen. You got to have a vision. You got to have a focus. If you don't, you're not going to get anything done. Hello? And you can't be worrying about what happened in the past, because that's just more weight you're carrying, more burden you've got, more that's tripping you up. There's no sense carrying that old bleebly you've had since you were a kid. You got to cut it up and get rid of it. If you got to cut it up into small pieces and finally throw it away, you got to get rid of it. Because all it's going to do is hinder you and trip you up in 16. And I believe 16 can be a great year. I believe that the Lord spoke to me. And so this is why I'm saying y'all have to trust that I heard the Lord. I got it confirmed in the Word. I'm preaching nothing but Word. And talked to some other people. Seemed like it was the same thing that they're going on in their hearts. And talked with all my accountability people. And so anyway, I believe 2016, here it goes. Okay? And y'all have to listen to the whole message. If you don't get it, you can go on iTunes. You can go on the website. You can listen to the message that are coming in the next few weeks to finish this up, because I won't finish it today. But I believe the year 2016 is a year of blessing and a year of potential. All right? I know it doesn't seem like it when you look out into the world today and all the craziness and goofiness and all the things going. But let me ask you a question here this morning, you wise people. You know, you go read the book, you know, starting the first pages of Acts, we'll say. And you're reading the book of Acts and you get over to You know, Acts chapter 5, and Ananias drops dead in church. You know, you read in chapter 4 where Peter's put in prison, and then the angel comes, shows up. I mean, here's Peter locked in prison. And then all of a sudden an angel shows up physically. Peter sees him. He's standing right there. He walks up, just takes the chains off of him. He doesn't need a key. Hello? Doesn't need a key. Just the chains fall off of him. The prison door is open. He walks out of prison. He walks over to the prayer meeting going on. Remember, the girl comes up to the door. He knocks on the door and says, "Hey, come on, open the door, let me in." He's scared. Why was he in a hurry to get in there? He didn't want anybody to see him on the streets. He's supposed to be in prison. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all following this story here? He's running. It's the dark of the night. He's knocking on the door. The girl says, "Ah, it's Peter. It's what we're praying about. He's happened." And then she runs back into the prayer meeting. He leaves the door locked. Leaves him standing out in the street. Goes in there and tells everybody, "He's outside. Our prayer happened." Everybody's like, "No, get out of here. That wasn't what happened." Well, they had a lot of faith, didn't they? And they run in there, and there's Peter, and he goes in there and tells them the story of what happened, right? All of that you would look at, and you read it as excitement and say, "Whoo, man, look at that, you know? That's exciting." But folks, you know, they probably beat Peter before he went into prison. And being locked in prison in chains, there was probably some scary times there. It was probably pretty tough. But what did they see happen? They saw the blessing of God move in that situation. I'm preaching to you that 2016 is a year of blessing, but before you get your mindset that, you know, people are just going to be writing you blank checks and new cars going to be showing up in your parking lots and in your garages and you're going to walk out there and see glory, hallelujah, I just want to tell you, it's the year that you're going to see the blessing of God moving. It's going to be the year you're going to see the church of God start to rise up, but I'm not saying what else is going on around the periphery. Because a lot of times when God's moving, things aren't in the natural good. But I don't really care, to be honest with you. I want to see an angel come knock off some chains. I want to see a jail that can't hold me because the angels are outside opening up doors. I want to see the miracles and the signs of God. I want to see the church rising. I want to see when you're a Christian and you pray, you see answers to your prayers. Hello? Are y'all with me? How about y'all? Y'all want to see that? You want to see exciting things happening going on in your life? Well, I believe 2016 is going to be a year of blessing. I want to preach that. And I also believe that 2016 is going to be a year for you to accomplish or you to rise to the level of your godly potential. I'm not talking about, you know, you've been really, you know, practicing your 40-yard dash and now you're going to have a better time. I'm not talking about that potential. I'm talking about your godly potential. Each and every one of you are gifted, amazing people. Each and every one of you have a call of God upon your life to accomplish a purpose for Him, whether you realize it or not. Now, it may not be here in a pulpit like I'm preaching this morning. It may not be even going on a mission trip. You have to determine what God's created you for. It may be the relative you've been praying for years all of a sudden get saved this year. Or the situation that's been going on that you've been really crying out for that really bothers you, and all of a sudden you see it move this year. Well, see, you're fulfilling and reaching your godly potential. Everybody say, "I got a godly potential." And a lot of times we don't walk in the potential, the godly potential. We don't let it get fulfilled on the inside of us simply because we don't understand what God's trying to do with us and how He's trying to grow us in grace and help us to go on to be that person. We don't see the signs. We don't understand what's going on. We're missing what God's wanting us to do. And so basically we're missing class. And so, you know, we're not growing. Hello? Hello? Y'all with me? So in 2016, it's going to be a year that God, I want to teach you over the next few weeks, I'm going to teach you how you're going to be able to tap into that, because God wants to just visit you, show up at your house, talk to you, tell you, lead you, guide you, help you, bless you, get you on there, and you're going to become amazing, 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 amazing people. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, "Man, you really are amazing." Now, you know, I always have to... realize that I've got two audiences going on here. I've got y'all, and I've got everybody out there watching and listening, okay? So if what I'm going to say next, you know, you don't like it, well, then you can just say, well, it must have been for somebody on the radio. surely he's not talking about me. Okay, so in the book of Galatians here, I want to get started on this because I want to tell you that God wants to bless you. So I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to see verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. He says there, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, everybody say the works of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so this is what I need to tell you before I get into the message and get everybody going. I need to get all y'all's hearts prepared and get, you know, where you're ready to receive. Amen? So there's two kinds of people that I'm speaking to here this morning, all right? One kind of person is the person who wants to serve God with all of their heart, that is, it believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, is saved, knows that they're saved, knows that they're, if they die, they're going to go to heaven. You know that you are a child of God, but as all of us, you're not maybe got it all together, because then none of us got it all together. You got a few problems, you got a few issues, you know. You got some things that are going on, but you don't want them in your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, there's a difference between you're saved and you're living for Jesus and you're trying your best, and there's things in your life that you do that you don't want to do that you're asking God to help you through, but you're still in the midst of doing it. Can I have an amen? Okay? And then there's the other section of person that maybe says that they're saved, maybe declares that, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus and all that, but they fall under this category right here is because they're in an adulterous affair, but they don't want to get out of it. They're in, they are a drunkard, but they don't want to quit drinking. They are, into hatred and into jealousies and into strife, but they don't want to change. All right? I'm telling you, if that's you, you're not going to find any blessing in 2016. Look at the person beside you and say, I can't believe he said that. No, I mean, we're coming to the day and time, listen to me, folks, that I don't believe in cheap grace. I've never believed in cheap grace. I've never preached from this pulpit in 22 years of cheap grace. I don't believe that we serve God to get away with something else. Look, if your heart is evil, if you want to do wrong, if you enjoy doing wrong, if you enjoy hating, okay, well, then I want to tell you something. There's something wrong with your salvation. You're not right. There's a difference in you're so mad at yourself because you are angry with the person. See, there's some conviction in your life. You're wanting to change. That's good. Conviction is good. Conviction is good. Because listen to me, we all don't have it right. We're all not perfect. We all are not have everything down pat. Because if you did, then you would be Jesus and you wouldn't be here. Right? And I'm not. But I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I'm asking the Spirit of grace to work in me all the time and help me, and the Spirit of sanctification to come and work in our lives and to be better. See, if you want to get better, this is your year of blessing. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach this message today. It's going to knock your socks off. Because, see, I haven't even got into the message yet. I'm just giving you a little taste, a little hors d'oeuvre here is all I'm doing. All right? I haven't even got to the good stuff. I'm going to preach a message today, and if you'll grab hold of it, I promise you, that if you grab hold by revelation of the message I'm going to preach to you today, if you just get hold of it, it will change your life, and it will set you on a course in 2016, and you will walk in the blessings of God. But I'm telling you, if you really want to do wrong, you're not going to get any blessings, and don't blame me when it doesn't work. And then certainly don't go out bad-mouthing my God saying, well, God doesn't really work. I think the problem would be with you before it'd be with him. Hello? Okay, so now we're ready to go. All right? Now, I want you to go, and I want you to look at the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Y'all ready for this? I'm telling you, I'm so excited about preaching this to you. I can't hardly stand it. I want to just like throw up all over you with a word right quick, and then, you know, I just, there's not enough time today for me to get this out. I'm just jumping. Okay, I want you to look down in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high, a minister of the sanctuary and a true tabernacle of the Lord erected, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Now stop right there. Okay. When God gave Moses all the law, all the things that he gave him, all the ordinances, all the covenants, all the way to make the tabernacle, all the way to do the lampstands, all to do the how to make the table of the showbread, and how to make the offerings, and what to do at the brazen altar, and what to do at the, you know, at the offering of the Holy of Holies, and what to do. All these things that he told Moses to do, you got to understand something, was a copy, a pattern of what was already taking place in heaven. Right? You can't have, to have a pattern means you had something that you traced it from, right? There was an original and you made a pattern. It wouldn't be a pattern, you wouldn't call it a pattern, if it was the original. Right? So when you read the Old Testament and you look in all the laws and all the ordinances and all the things and everything God said to Israel, it was a pattern, a copy of what was supposed to be taking place or what was taking place in heaven that God wanted to bring heaven to earth. Everybody in agreement with me? That's what it says here. Okay, now if you read the next verse, verse 6, it says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is now the high priest. Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the throne in heaven where the original is. Not the copy. Inasmuch as he is a mediator of a better covenant. Everybody say better covenant. Come on, say it like you mean it. A better covenant. Okay, so just think about this. If the old covenant was the covenant and Jesus has given us a better covenant. So whatever the old covenant said, what Jesus is mediating is better than the old. Y'all with me? And it's established on better promises. Hear what I'm saying to you. Just get this in your heart. There was a copy put down on earth. It was just to show us what was supposed to be taking place. So everything you read in the Old Testament, it's a type, it's a shadow, it's a copy of what God's law and how he really wanted heaven or how he's running heaven to be run on earth. So every covenant that Israel had under the old covenant, y'all following me? There's a new covenant. By the blood of Jesus, by faith, by grace, there's a better covenant that has better promises. So if you read the old covenant and it looks really good, what you're walking in is better than what the old was. Hello? Are y'all with me? I mean, I'm trying to get you a little excited here because I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to show you something in the old covenant here in just a second, and I want to show you how good it is. I'm going to show you how I'd settle for it. Hear me? I'd settle for the old one because it's good. It's good stuff. But I have to stop and think, wow, how can you get better than that, Lord? How could it be better than what you're offering right here? All right? Okay, so let me show you the old. Go over Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass. I like it when I find in the Bible, God says, and it shall come to pass. You know, if anybody's going to make something come to pass, God can make it come to pass, right? It's like I preached over Christmas, you know, God was looked at the whole world and all the things going on in the world and all the turmoil, all the problems, all the things that the world was involved in, and he saved the world with a baby. That is about the least weapon I would have ever pulled out of my arsenal to save the world with, a baby. Right? So hopeless, so helpless, so small, so vulnerable. But God says, let's just save the world with a baby. Not even born in a bed. Born out in the stable with all the animals and bacteria everywhere, and what all in the world could have killed him? Can you imagine a mother today going to get delivery, goes to the hospital, and they say, "I'm sorry, all the rooms are full, but we got a stable out back, and you can go get birth out there." How well that would go over? Okay, so it shall come to pass. God's saying it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, if you have religion in you, and you're religious, you don't really have a relationship and a covenant with God that you're walking in, you're just religious, you're just going through types and shadows, and you're just religious, right there you just give up, because you say, well, you know, who can hear the voice of God, and who can obey his voice? We all make mistakes and we sin, and therefore God didn't bless us. And I just want to tell you, get mad at me, send me a dirty letter, I don't care. You're religious, and you've let your orthodoxy and your religion get down on the inside of your head, and you have disqualified yourself from walking in the blessings of God. And I want to tell you something, you're wrong. You say, wow. You know, because I had to be like I'm like a prosecuting attorney when I'm preaching to y'all, you know, all of y'all out there. I'm like the prosecutor. I like to prove my points so that, you know, I shut the argument up and I win the case. All right? So hold your finger at Deuteronomy 28. And let me show you why I'm right. Go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, where? In your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you. Okay, now hold on here. What changed? One moment you were alienated, and the next moment he's presenting you. What changed? What changed is through faith, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Through faith, you believe that he has the answer for your life. Through faith, you said, you know, Jesus, I want you to come and live in my heart. Through faith, you believe that he is your answer. And in that moment that you believe through faith, you went from alienated to being presented. You were an outsider, alienated. All the promises, all the covenants, every good thing God ever had, you were an alienated from. And then all of a sudden, bing, you're being presented. And here is Mr. Frank Gunn. to present you, not just present you. Yeah, here he is. Holy. Holy? Holy. To present you holy and blameless. And above reproach in his sight. Type and shadow. Type and shadow in the Old Testament. There was a type and shadow when Moses would go and he was going to sanctify the people to get ready for the Day of Atonement. He would take a hyssop bush, which is basically like an old sage bush. He would have a bowl full of blood that came from the heifer that they had getting ready to sacrifice. The bowl was in, the blood was in the bowl. They would take the hyssop bush, they'd put it down inside there, and Moses would go. Uh-oh, pull my mic off. Getting too rowdy. He'd sling it around. Sling blood everywhere, all over everybody. I would love to do that. If we could just have a service, y'all let me do that, I'd have so much fun. I mean, that would be so cool. Just looking at give a big old slop over here. Yeah. And he'd sling blood around everywhere, and all the blood, when it touched the people, you know what it made them? Holy. Because but God had said in the Old Testament that anything the blood touched became holy. So they used the blood to, or the anointing oil, whichever the procedure was, and they would just go up to here's the vessel that they want to sanctify. It's just a cup or whatever, and they just took the oil, and once they put it on it, now it's holy. What changed? What changed with the cup? Nothing. Just had some oil on it or some blood on it. What changed with all those people that they threw the blood on? Nothing. That it's got blood on their clothes. The vessel didn't change. There was no, they didn't put it on it and then all of a sudden a little, and all of a sudden now it's blue when it was white. There's no Twilight Zone stuff going on. Are y'all with me? What changed? Nothing changed. The only thing that changed was what touched them. Because God said, everybody said God said. I just don't want to argue with God. If God said it, I just want to believe it. Are y'all with me? If God said, anoint it, it's holy, then why am I saying, well, it's not really holy, Lord. I mean, you know, goodness gracious. I mean, just put some oil on it. It's just the same old dirty cup it was before. I mean, what are you talking about? It's not really holy. If God said, put some oil on it, it's holy, then it's holy. Why am I arguing with God? Okay, well then, who in the heck are you? Excuse me. Who are you to be arguing with God? That because you believed in Jesus and you do believe he's the Lord and Savior of your life and you've asked him to wash your sins away, that you're not holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Who are you to stand up and say, well, God, you know I'm not perfect and I don't ever get everything right and I do some things that are wrong down there and I just, you know, I mean, I don't understand. Who are you to get all religious, high-minded, and walk around and tell God that he doesn't know what he's doing when he said the blood of my son will put upon your life, will make you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight? Who are you? I'm preaching really good. Oh, are we so high-minded that we can argue with God? Well, I understand. Are we so simple-minded that we would let religion talk us out of the blessings of God because we say, well, yes, but it says, if you diligently obey his voice, and I got mad the other day and kicked the dog and I shouldn't have. Or I'm just having a hard time forgiving old so-and-so because they just, what they did was wrong, and I'm telling them, I don't know if I can forgive them or not. And you're going to tell me, so now you're out of the race, you're now no longer presentable. You're no longer holy. The blood of Jesus is not enough to cleanse you. The blood of Jesus is not enough to make you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, look at the next part of this. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if you live your life perfectly from this time on, if you behave and don't do wrong, if You always walk in love. No, it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel you heard. Were you going to go denying Jesus? That's what he's talking about. You're not going to stand on Jesus anymore. You're not going to stand that he's the Son of God, that his blood can wash away your sins. You're not going to stand rooted and grounded in faith. You're going to let somebody talk you out of it. Well, it is also by works. You've got to do some works here. Well, yeah, you got to. We all want to be better people. You just can't be a dadgum heathen out there and expect the blessing of God upon your life. You're missing God anyway. You're derailing yourself. God's not derailing you. You're derailing you. I mean, I don't understand why people want to say God does everything when the biggest majority of the time we're doing it to ourselves. But it's easy to blame God because then you have to blame yourself. Every now and then I watch flipping around the television, I watch the show Cops, you know, and they had show the deal about going on. There was this had one the other day I was watching a young man. He said he was AWOL from the military. He stole the car and he was speeding. Okay. I just would like to tell criminals, if you're gonna do something wrong, I mean, don't speed. You know, if you've just robbed a bank and you've got the loot in there and you're on the getaway and you're clear, don't speed. I mean, you know, come on. But anyway, he was speeding. He gets stopped by the police. And I'm sitting there watching this thing and I said, well, I know how this is going to end, but the young man's got a choice to make right now. He could have stepped out of the car, put his hands right up on the hood and said, man, I have messed up in life. I have done wrong. I need your help. Here, go ahead and arrest me. I'm AWOL. I'll do whatever they're going to do to me. I'll go to jail. I stole this car. I've just been making bad decisions, but there's no sense making more bad decisions. That would have been smart. But he didn't. He waited for the cop to get out of the car. Then he sped off. And then they chased him down the road, and he ended up having a wreck, turned the car, almost killed himself. My point is there he had a choice to make. And the choice he made was not a good choice. And you can't blame it on God when we make dumb choices. But it doesn't negate the blood of Jesus. It doesn't negate what the promise says. It doesn't negate what he's saying here, that I want to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. It's like, if you'll stay with me, if you'll keep on with me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll cry out every day, give me wisdom, God. If you'll cry out every day, Lord, I want your grace in my life. I want you to help me. I want to be better. I want you. If you're that person, man, he's all for you. Are you following me? Okay, go back to Deuteronomy 28. That took care of that point. If you want to say, if you're diligent, so that just took care of that point. Because if you want to stay with Jesus, you know, listen to me, you'll do it and you'll be blessed. Are you following me here? Okay, let's get to this good stuff. I mean, this is good. I mean, this ought to just knock your socks off. This ought to reaffirm your faith right now. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're not serving Jesus, you're just stupid. Everybody out there listening, watching, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with you. I don't know why you would want to go out there and keep getting in trouble and punishing yourself and doing stupid things. Quit it. Turn to Jesus now. Okay. Got that off my chest. Let's read what it says here. All these blessings, verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you. You don't have to look for the blessings. They're going to overtake you. They're going to come jump on you. That means you're walking down the road. To be overtaken means you're walking at a certain speed, but something overtakes you. It's going faster. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Now, I cut these up into 10 blessings. You can divide them up into more, but I just had that there was 10 blessings here. Okay, the first one being, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Okay, so you're going to prosper wherever you go. We don't like the city, we're country folks, but when we go to the city, I just want you to understand, the blessing of God is still on you. You got to understand what the blessing of God means. The blessing, to say blessing, it can also be translated favor. Okay? If I bless you, I have given to you. If I say, if I bless you, everything I got becomes yours. What God's saying is because you believe in Jesus and he's got a new covenant built on better promises. When you read these old promises and it says, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field, you got to understand something. God's blessing's on you and it's bigger and better than what he's setting here. What he's saying here. And what does blessed mean? Oh, well, the Lord's blessed me. No, I'm talking about blessed. How much do you think God can bless you? I mean, just think, when God blesses, what is... Okay, God gives a Christmas gift. How big is it going to be? You see what I'm saying? I mean, you're talking about the God who creates worlds, who doesn't pave streets with gold. They're solid gold. Let's just get this all straight in our heads. To have the blessing of God, what does it mean? Folks, it's more than you can imagine. It's more than your mind can come up with. It's bigger, greater, more intense than you could ever imagine. If God says, you're blessed, nothing can touch you. So you're blessed in the city, right? You're blessed in the field. Or you're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the country. So you prosper. Here we go. The second one. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Okay, you know, very few of us these days are ranchers anymore, and you don't usually have a flock. But you have children. You have family. Right? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That your kids are blessed, that the blessing that's on your life transfers over to them too. The third one, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. I mean, some of us are bread makers around here, but you look at that, but how about your personal accounts? Because your kneading bowl was everything to you in life. Folks, you got to understand something here this morning. If you get hold of this revelation that I'm telling you, that you are blessed by Almighty God in all these areas of your life, not because of what you do, but because of what you believe, it changes your life. You may want to kick yourself. You may want to, you know, put yourself down and whatever, but I'm going to tell you something. Wait a minute. If God has blessed you and his hand of blessing is upon you, folks, there's nothing in this world that could stop it. And it's based upon the blood of Jesus, not upon your good works. It's based upon the blood and what the blood could do, because he said, I'll make you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. No one takes advantage of you. Right? It means you go in to make a business deal and you come out, you're blessed. Or you just doing whatever. No one's taking advantage of you. You're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. Ain't nobody taking your blessing from you. The fifth one is the Lord causes your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. He shall come out against you one way and flee seven ways. That means they're after you and you just go, boom! And they run seven ways. Sixth one, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all that which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land in which the Lord your God is giving you. All that you set your hand to? Now, if you're about to, you know, open up a business, and inside of you, God is speaking to you and saying, don't do this. And you're like, no, I've really always wanted to open up this business. And you hear on the inside of you, don't do this. And you said, no, you said you'd bless everything I put my hand to. And God says, don't do this. And you go and do it, you may not find the blessing of God in that. Are you following me? But if you feel something that's kind of outlandish and kind of crazy, but you feel like God's really leading you in it. And you went and talked to some other people, and they confirmed that, you know, what you're feeling was God, and you really sought this out, and you sought the face of the Lord, and you took time off to seek His face and to fast and to pray and to ask God to really show you, and you say you want to do light, and you're laying it all down before Him and saying, Lord, I just want to do what's right, and He's leading you into it. You may be opening up a, you know, I don't know, donut shop in the middle of a vegetarian area or something, you know, I don't know. And it would be successful because God spoke to you to do it and you obeyed His voice and your hand of blessing was upon it and you're blessed. And you're sitting there saying, I don't know how this works. Thank you. You just rake it in because you don't understand it, but it doesn't make any difference. You understand it. It's just God's hand of blessing upon you and you're just being blessed. Why? Because that's your covenant. The seventh one, the Lord shall establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in all of His ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by His name and the Lord, the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now this right here is where your godly potential comes in. And I want to get to that later. All right? But that's where He's blessed you so that your godly potential comes about. Eighth one. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, of the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Listen to me. God wants you healthy. He wants to bless the plenty of your goods in the fruit of your body. This earth suit we walk around in, it needs some work. I've talked to the Lord about it, and He's assured me that He can take care of everything, but I'm you know, I mean, it's got some problems. But He says He'll bless it. So I have to look in the mirror and say, hey, good thing. The Bible said when he made me a good thing. So good things start functioning right. All right? Just start functioning right. Have y'all noticed that when you get older, you can't figure out why you're sore? When you were younger, you just knew why you got sore. Now as you get older, you're like, why am I sore over this? Why? I don't understand. I didn't do anything, and I'm sore. And the ninth one, the Lord will open to you the good treasures. Open to you, wait, I didn't read that right. The Lord will open to you His good treasure. What do you think's in the Lord's treasure? Then He says, comma, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. In other words, God's got a way to bless everything that you put your hands to, whether you need rain or not. Ten, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Every time I read that, all I can think of is a bull rider. Okay? He's riding the bull. He's on top. He's waiting for the 8 seconds, and he makes it. Then I see the picture of the guy whose arm is hung. He's hanging around backwards, and he's underneath the bull being dragged everywhere. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I mean, that's what imagery comes to my mind. You may have some different imagery you want. Okay? But I'm just telling you, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you carefully observe them, so shall you not turn aside from any of the words that I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after the other gods to serve them. So under the old covenant, it was all based upon their performance. But if you read through the whole Old Covenant, you could have, like you could have locked yourself in a box and just, I mean, you didn't do anything, so therefore you didn't mess up that week. And been leaving and walking to church, and you didn't see the dead squirrel that was squashed on the pavement, and you stepped on it. You became unholy. So everything you had performed that week, because you stepped on the dead squirrel, you're out. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like that. You following me? Because it was set up. God set it up to show man that under your greatest ability and your greatest potential, you could not perform it. That's what it was all about. The law was put down before man to show man how holy God was and that there was no way you could be like that in your own abilities. So you had to have a miracle. You had to have the blood of Jesus over your life so that when God looks at you, remember, mercy seat over the ark, and they poured blood on it, and the blood covered the top of the mercy seat. When God looks at you, He wants to see the blood of Jesus. He wants to see the sacrifice of His Son. He wants to see that you're believing in Him. He wants to see over your life that you're looking to Him and saying, man, I believe in you and I trust in you. I believe you are the Son of God. And I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. Work with me, Jesus. Help me. Do whatever you need to do in my life. That's what God wants to see. And when He does, He says, man, that person's holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in my sight. I mean, folks, it's too good to be true. That's why I said, if you don't want to serve Jesus, you're stupid. I can't understand it. My mind can't wrap around, because if this is the best deal I've ever seen, and I want it. But what happens to us is you hear some good preaching like today, or you get stirred up, and then you're like, yeah, that's right. And then Monday comes. And then we're all going to go back to work. And then you're, and then you get right back in the humdrums. And then everything starts coming against you. And then your mind's not thinking about the things of God. Your mind's not thinking about the covenants and promises of God. Your mind's not thinking about what He promised you. And then you just go right back into the old way of thinking. You fall back into that same old rut. You get back in there, you're just going through the motions, and the next thing you know, the devil steps in and says, you know you're rotten. And you're like, I know. I don't know why I could be. Why would God want to bless me? He isn't going to want to bless me. And then He just takes you down that road, and He just leads you like a bull with a nose ring in, just leads you right down the path that you don't really want to go, and you just go down there, and you just sit in, you know, doom, despair, and agony on me, deep old dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Boom, 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 boom. And then that's where we live. And I'm telling you, 2016, God wants to get you up out of the muck and the mire. God wants you to understand in 2016, He wants you to rise to this place, to this level. This is spelled out the old covenant blessing, and you have better promises built on better covenants built on better promises. Well, how much better could it be than this, that everything that you touch, everything your hand goes to, your body is blessed, your children are blessed, your storehouses are blessed, your fields are blessed, everything that you could imagine in life, you're blessed, that your enemies are defeated before you. What else could there be in life is what I'm trying to tell you, church. But you have to rise up. Listen to me. God respects your free will. And God is not going to come in there and just say, look, I have about had enough of you believing that trash, and I'm going to jerk you by your ear until you get it right. He's not going to do that. He's going to come to you, and He's going to love you, and He's going to speak to you, and He's going to have me keep preaching to you, and He's going to have you listen to every song on the radio that's got a good message to you, and He's going to try to have people encourage you, but you got to pick yourself up and do it. And you can either make a choice. You can believe in the old covenant and say you're not going to make it, or you can believe in the new covenant and say, man, the blood covers me. Thank you for the blood. Lord, I thank you for the blood. I praise you for the blood. Jesus, I thank you for the blood. Because it's His blood of Him being the perfect Lamb that was sacrificed for humanity, that came upon all of us and gave us the ability to walk in this amazing, amazing grace. And without it, we don't stand a chance. With it, we can conquer the world. You can conquer anything that comes upon you. You can defeat sickness and disease. You can defeat anything that comes upon you. You have a black spot in your past? Just get some blood on it. I had prayed about something, and ladies, will y'all bring the communion down, please? I had prayed about a situation, and then picked it back up and started worrying about it, and the Lord spoke this to me. Profound words. He says, I thought you gave me this. Said it to me just like that. I thought you gave me this. And I was like, yeah, I did. I don't know why I'm rehearsing this again, Lord. I gave it to you. Okay, I'm sorry. And so I repented. Repentance is a great thing, church. Repentance is a great thing. We got our communion service here this morning, starting out this new year. And we have an open communion service here at Living Waters Church. Anybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to have communion with us. If you're just faking it and you don't really want to serve Jesus, well, then just stay in your seat. See what you get to come home to? 3 weeks and I'm out there. I mean, seriously. I mean, I believe it's time to just quit patty caking around. Just get real. I'm not perfect, but I'm standing under grace and standing under the blood. Amen. I don't want to do wrong. But our communion service, this was all based upon. Jesus gave us this covenant, this ordinance. He said, hey, when you come together, he said, take the cup and remind yourself of what covenant we have, a new covenant based on better promises. When you take the bread, remember it's my broken body that's poured out and given for you. It's my broken body that's broken. I went to the cross and shed the blood for you. So don't walk in that foolishness. Don't walk in that foolishness. So church, all those of y'all watching and listening, I know you can't have communion with us, but you can right there in your own home invite Jesus into your life. If you're out there and you're listening, you're watching, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to me. Don't be stupid any longer. Reach out today. Call out to Him. Ask Him to come into your life. Repent of your sins. The Bible says God will forgive you. So if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Just ask Him to come into your life. Cry out that name of Jesus. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God will come into your life. He'll change your life and He'll set you free. Don't live a day longer. Don't live a moment longer out there in life, not knowing for sure that you're right with God. Make it right. Church, if you're in here today and you don't know, listen to me, make it right. I'm not going to have any, you know, I'm just not a big believer that I can do some sort of an emotional service or something like that and get things right. Listen, you know if you're right or not. I don't. The Spirit of God knows, and you know. I don't. I can't look into your face and say, whoa. I wish I could. I wish I'd just say, okay, now, Lord, it's time to flip the switch and, you know, everything just popped up over your heads. And I said, oh, the light switch didn't come on you. But don't wait any longer. Don't let 2016 go on without your relationship with Jesus being strong. Walk in His blessings. Call upon His name. He said He'd always be there for those that call upon His name. Those people would never be ashamed. Amen? And so today's a great time to get yourself right with God. Can I have my pastoral team and prayer team come up today? Because we're here for you. We're here for you. And these people, highly trained professionals, up here to pray with you. And you know what the reason why they're highly trained professionals? Because they've all been through the works. And they're still standing. And they'll pray with you. And they'll believe God for you. And don't leave this building today if you're not right with Jesus. When we have communion here in just a minute, come up to the front and maybe even before you take your communion, just get with one of the prayer people standing there and say, I want to be right with God. I want to leave this building today knowing that I'm right with God. And they'll pray for you. And it'll be settled issue. And it'll be all taken care of. It'll be under the blood. Because Jesus is that amazing, amen? He's that amazing. So just begin to prepare your heart to come up here and receive this communion. So on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Now take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Church, Jesus took those stripes so that you could be healed. Jesus took all the pain of the cross so you could walk in health. It's right here, by faith, in this broken body that Jesus has done for you. Father, we thank you for this, that we have your broken body to make ours whole. And then afterwards, he took the cup and he said, "This is a new covenant." Everybody say new covenant. I read to you, the old covenant was good, but you got a new covenant built on better promises. He says, it's a new covenant because it's the forgiveness of your sins. Do not leave this building today burdened with some mistake you've made. Repent. It's so good and so cleansing to repent and just be cleansed. Don't let that burden stay attached to you. Come and receive and take this cup and repent of your sins and say, "Father, forgive me." And I'm telling you what, he does. So Lord, we thank you for this cup and for the blood that washes and covers our sins and Lord makes us right with you. Now I'm going to serve these so they can be ready to serve you.